Well, before we get to the message tonight, it is exciting to be able to introduce, not that anybody doesn't know him, most likely, but to introduce for you our speaker tonight. Brother Kyle has been such a blessing to the church, and I know that the teenagers sitting right here down front know that. No doubt, and their families, I trust, do as well. But he's been such a blessing to the church, and so he thought he'd inaugurate his 1 year by getting sick and not being here, because I think he got here at the end of July, and so he's just back. He was out for the last little bit. He was supposed to preach Sunday night, and it just wasn't feeling very good. But we're so thankful that God certainly brought him through that, but brought him here. And I don't know all he is going to say at all, but I know that they've been busy all summer, and we're so thankful for Brother Kyle and all that he's doing and all that he's done, and his wife Anna. So you get your Bibles ready. Brother Kyle's going to come, and he's going to share God's word with us this evening. Brother Kyle,
if you want to take your Bibles, go to Psalm chapter 113. Psalm 113. And as Brother Daniel said, we have been here now a little over a year, and it is exciting. And my wife and I, we love being here. And it's a blessing to be where God has us. And it was a long journey to get here, but I'm thankful to be here. And thankful to be in God's will and able to serve in such a wonderful church. There are not many churches like this church. And I'm so thankful for Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and we get to be a part of it. And so thank you to each and every one that we get to serve alongside. As Brother Daniel said, summer has flown by. And July especially, it seemed like it was just here and gone. And started off July, I was out in a wedding out in California and made it out there, got back, didn't get sick. It was great, but save that for later, getting sick part. And was in the office for about a week. Then we went down to Florida for camp. And so it's been a busy month. Came back from camp, got sick, as you obviously should do when you go to camp, right? Get sick. So we came back, got sick. But it's exciting. I'm feeling much better. Thank you for your prayers. Many people have been praying. Still can't quite hear out of my left ear. So if you tell me something and I just seem to ignore you, it's not because I'm trying to ignore you. I just can't hear out of my left ear. So understand that. And we'll get into our sermon tonight, Psalm chapter 113. And as Christians, we should be people who are constantly praising the Lord. If I asked, what is the best form of advertisement? We'd probably get some different responses, right? Some might say, well, hey, the best thing to do is get a giant billboard, right, and put your message up there. That's the best form of advertisement. Pretty good form of advertisement. Some might say, well, in the day and age in which we live, right, Facebook, that is the way to do it. Facebook ads, that's the best form of advertisement. Some might even say, hey, you need to be a little more high-tech than even Facebook, right? You need to go get you a good camera and a videographer. You need to make a nice commercial that's really emotional and makes you want to do something. That is the best form of advertising. Maybe someone in here would say, no, see, old school is the best way, and we need to have a newspaper ad. That is the best form of advertising, right? We get a lot of different responses. But if you do a little research, the best form of advertisement is word of mouth. Word of mouth advertising is considered the most effective form. It has the desired qualities of strong credibility, high audience attention levels, and friendly audience reception. Someone sharing their experience with their friend about why they should get a product, that is the best form of advertisement. And as Christians, in our lives, you know what? We are, in a sense, advertising our Savior to the world. People around us, what they hear or don't hear coming out of our life, that is an advertisement for who Christ is. Tonight, we're going to look at a psalm, and a psalm that is about praise. Now, the Psalm 113 is the beginning of the Hallel. Now, the Hallel is a collection of songs sung at the festivals, different festivals such as Passover, Pentecost, different holy days that the Jewish celebrate. And Psalm 113 through 118 is the Hallel. And we're not going to cover the whole Hallel. We're just covering chapter 113. But this passage would be sung. And for example, at Passover, they would sing Psalm 113 and 114 before the meal and 115 through 118 after the meal. And so we're going to dive into Psalm 113, and my message tonight is not necessarily going to be a long sermon. It's not a very complex thing. I've been warned that my microphone's going to cut off at a certain time, so it can't be long, all right? But tonight we're going to look at this psalm, and we're going to hopefully see one truth, and I have three hopefully rememberable points that I want us to be able to remember for this whole week as we go through our daily weeks or our daily lives each day this week. My point number one is this: praise the Lord. Point number one, if you're taking notes, is praise the Lord. Look at verse number one of Psalm 113. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Here we're commanded to praise, show approval, worship, lift up God's name. That is what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to be building Christ's name as Christians. You know, we get to serve a wonderful Savior who cares for us, who takes care of us, and it's our job as Christians to magnify the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord for who He is. Praise the Lord. If people around us hear what we have to say, what do they think about the Savior we serve? Are we praising the name of the Lord? I'm afraid too often we can be so negative and get so focused on circumstances in our life that we don't stop and praise the Lord for the things that He is doing, for the things, the ways He is working. It says, praise ye the Lord, praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Here, the psalmist is speaking specifically to Israel, and he's saying, hey, Israel, praise the Lord. Well, why would the psalmist be speaking to Israel to praise the Lord? Everyone in Israel would know who Jehovah was. Why would they need to praise the Lord? Well, Isaiah gives some insight. It's for a light of the Gentiles. See, Israel was to praise the Lord and make great who God was to the people around them, to the nations around them that did not know who God was. Same is true in our life. We're supposed to praise the Lord so the people around us know what a wonderful God we serve. We lift the name of the Lord up so that way the people around us say, hey, they serve an amazing God. The end of verse 1 says that we're supposed to praise the name of the Lord. How do we magnify the name of the Lord? How do we build it up? Simply this, we say something good about who God is. So many times in my life, I've gone through something and I get to the end of it and I say, wow, thank you, Lord, in my own heart. But you know what? No one around me hears about how God took care of me. No one else gets to know about how amazing my God is that I serve because I've kept it to myself. Our job as Christians is to build the name of the Lord. The next couple of verses tell us how often and how long we're supposed to praise the name of the Lord. Look at verse 2 and verse 3. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Psalmist says, hey, from right now, this moment, forevermore. Hey, we're supposed to praise the Lord into eternity, and we're supposed to start right now in our lives. We're supposed to continue praising God for who He is, because God takes care of us. He looks after us. But then look at verse 3. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. You know what we're supposed to praise? God's name all day long. I know for my own life, it can be easy to get up and, well, maybe not getting up is easy, but once I get up, right, I get into my routines and I have my quiet time with God, right? And I can spend that time reading God's word and reflecting on who He is and even praising Him for who He is. But so often that's where my praising God ends for the day. I go through the rest of my day, and maybe I pick it up that night and say, God, thank you for getting me through the day, but you know what? I've wasted a day that I could have been praising God to others, telling others about how amazing he is in my life, how he's gotten me through. I was reminded just a couple weeks ago about praising God's name. Going down to camp was an exciting adventure. And if you want to hear the whole story, come ask me. But it was an exciting adventure, right? And we went down to Pensacola. And Pensacola, Florida, several hours south of here. And we had to get up very early before the crack of dawn and head on the road to get down in time. And so we left just a little after 5, and so it was great. I drove the van and pulling the trailer with the luggage. Brother Jeff Roten was driving the people mover behind us, and we were cruising. And we had left just a little after 5. We were doing really good. We were making good time, in all honesty. I was quite impressed. I think we had gotten 4 hours down the road before we made our first stop. We were doing really good, making good time. We stopped, refueled, got ready, kept going down the road. We're making really good time. And I had been praying about this trip. This is the first, you know, big activity, big youth trip that me and my wife are going on. And so a lot of prayer went into this, and we're going down there. And we stopped for lunch. Stopped at Chick-fil-A. Okay, it was great. And stopped at Chick-fil-A, got our food, hopped back on the road because we were chasing down a deadline of getting down there in time for registration. And so we're cruising down the road. And then I get word that there's an issue in the people mover's brake. Well, we're in the middle of Alabama, and where we were, there was not much at all, and there's one exit coming up, so we said, all right, we got to pull over. So we stop at this exit, and there's one tiny little gas station at this exit, not much there, and so we stop there, and as soon as I got out and walked over to the people mover, you could tell something was wrong. Now, I'm not very mechanical, but my dad taught me enough that if it smells like that, that's not a good sign, and so we had to stop, and our trip was halted, and I'm racking my brain through all the things we need to do, and Brother Jeff's on the phone calling different people, and I'm calling different people, and we're trying to see if a mechanic can come fix this for us, and no one's able to get to us for several hours, so we're trying to come up with a plan B, and we're calling all these rental places to see if maybe we could rent some vans to get down there. I'm calling Pensacola to see if they could maybe send a bus up to pick us up. We're trying to figure out what we can do. And as a teenager, I don't know how many of you got to see the video on Sunday night, but as a teenager, I can imagine thinking about going to camp. And going to camp is a lot better than coming back from camp because you're not tired going to camp. You're amped up. You're ready to be there. You're ready to participate in the exciting things. Camp we went to had a rock climbing wall that was taller than this building. It had a water park. It had a bowling alley. It had everything, okay? Like, think of it, and it had it. It's an amazing place. So we're on our way down there, but we've hit this wall. It could be really easy to sit there and think, hey, you know what, woe is me. Look at this situation I'm in. I'm supposed to be at camp, enjoying myself, having fun, hanging out, but I'm on the side of the road at a gas station with not much to offer. But you know what? I kind of expected to have some teenagers kind of upset and frustrated, and I understood. I was a little bit upset and frustrated because I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to fix this. But you know what I found? I found some teenagers who were doing verse number 1. They were praising the name of the Lord. See, I heard about the gas attendant there. He was given the gospel, given a tract by one of the teenagers. Some of the people who came in the store had a conversation with our teenagers and got to hear about who our Savior was. You know what? That's what praising the name of the Lord is all about. That's what we as Christians are called to do, So often we can get caught up with the problems, right? How am I going to get all these teenagers down to Pensacola? What are their parents going to say once they hear about what's going on, right? All these thoughts going in my mind, but that wasn't what was important. That wasn't what God would have us do. God wants us simply to praise the name of the Lord. You know what? God's in control of this situation, and praise the Lord, he got us down to Pensacola a little later than we had expected, but you know what? God had a plan in all of it. You know what? We're supposed to praise the name of the Lord. No matter what we're going through, find ways to build up the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Point number one tonight was praise the Lord. Point number two is this: praise the Lord. Point number one was praise the Lord. Point number two is praise the Lord. I told you it was a three-point sermon. You can probably figure out what point number three is going to be, but we're not there yet, okay? So stay with me at point number two. Praise the Lord, all right? Point number two is praise the Lord. Look at verse number four. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. God is transcendent. Sometimes we can look at this world and we forget who's in control. We forget that God is far and above everything. He is all powerful. He is in control of all. Exodus gives us a passage to remind us of how amazing God is. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders? God is greater than the greatest, and he is higher than the heavens. Our God is amazing. Look at verse 5. Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high? Fact is, no one is like our God. Now, some men in history have thought that they were like God. Think about King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel records this. It says, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? King Nebuchadnezzar looked out at his kingdom and he said, hey, look how amazing I am. He built himself up in his pride. He said, I am amazing. I'm the most powerful. I am the most amazing. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from me, from thee. Just like that, God humbled him. He thought he was all that in a box of chocolate, right? But God said, hey, there's no one like me. Another person, Herod, in Acts, it's recorded, and the people gave a shout saying, is this the voice of a God and not of man? Herod had given this great speech, and the people cried out and said, wow, it's like we're hearing from a God. Herod allowed himself to be built up in pride, and next verse, and immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. These men were built themselves up in pride and said, hey, I am amazing. I am the most powerful. I am the most whatever. But in fact, no one is like our God. Our God is the most powerful. Our God is the most amazing. Our God is perfect. He's holy. Our God, there's no one like him. In our lives, we need to seek to eradicate pride in our life. This is something I tell the teenagers, and it's not just to tell them, it's to remind myself as well, but it's good for every single one of us in this room. It's this: life is not about me. Life is not about you. Life is about God. We're here on this earth not to build up our own name, not here on earth to build up our own selves. We're here to build up the name of the Lord. Build up the name of the one that we serve. So point number one was praise the Lord. Point number two, praise the Lord. Point number three, praise the Lord. Sure, you couldn't have guessed that last point. But look at verse number 6. I don't think that the psalmist was the most blown away by the fact that God was transcendent. I think we find what truly amazed the psalmist in verse 6. Who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. See, I think what amazed the psalmist the most was not the fact that God was transcendent, far and above what we can understand and imagine. Because truly, that's what we expect of God. We expect God to be something that we can't truly understand, far and above what we can understand, what we can comprehend, because he's God. But what amazed the psalmist is the fact that an all-powerful God, one who could do anything, would reach down to man. He cares about you. He cares about me. This is the amazing truth that we see. God can do anything, but yet he cares about us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us, is the promise that he gives us. He says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." You know what? God cares about you and he cares about me. Look at verse 7. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. You know what? God cares for the poor and the needy, the poor and unwanted and diseased. They gather around these ash heaps, and the sun would heat them up, and that's where they would get their warmth. And it doesn't say that every single poor person in the world God's going to lift up to be rich. That's not what this verse says. But you know what? When we watch someone go from a situation that we know that the only one who can help them is God, and we see God work in their life and bring them to somewhere, you know what? We can only say, wow, look at the God that we get to serve. Look at the amazing power, the love, the mercy, the grace of the God we serve. You know what? God cares about our individual needs. Can't promise you that if you have a health need, God's going to heal that health need. Or if you have a financial need, God's going to heal or pay for that financial need. I can't promise that. But what I can promise is this: God's going to work things together for your good, for his glory, as long as we seek to love him and serve him. Doesn't always mean it's the desired outcome that we want, but he's forming us to make us more like Christ. We serve a wonderful God who cares for us, and God cares for the forgotten. Look at verse 9. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. There's several people in Scripture that we think of that were not able to have children. Sarah would probably be one of the most common ones to come to mind, Abraham and Sarah, and God blessed Sarah with a child. But there was a girl named Hannah. She was married, but she was not able to have children. And of course, in that culture, in that time, it was very shameful, and she was ashamed and made fun of, and it was very difficult for her. Well, she went to the temple to worship God, as they did in her family, and they went, and she was praying to God. She's pouring her heart out to God. And as she's there pouring out her heart to God, she's moving her mouth, but she wasn't speaking. And so Eli, the priest, comes by and sees her and thinks she's drunk. And he reprimands her for being drunk in the temple, and she says, no, I'm not drunk. I'm just pouring my heart out to God. I'm just pouring my heart out to God. You know what? God heard her prayer. He blessed her with a child, and she gave this child back to God, and we would know this child's name is Samuel. Samuel went on to serve God with the rest of his life, and we have many chapters recording the things Samuel did. But as she gives him back to God, she praises God, and she says this in her praise: "He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill." See, Hannah realized the same thing that we've talked about tonight. You know what? God is far and above what we can understand, but yet he reaches down. He cares about your needs, and he cares about my needs. We serve a wonderful God that cares for you and for me. You know what? What more can we do than say, praise the Lord? Mind you, point number one, we need to praise the Lord. Point number two, hey, praise the Lord. Point number three, praise the Lord. Can I challenge you this week? You go through your week and you're interacting with people, especially those who are unsaved. Look for an opportunity to praise the name of the Lord. Build up the name of the Lord, because God is truly worthy of our praise. Lord, we thank you that we can praise you. We thank you we get to serve such a wonderful Savior. Lord, I pray that you would help us to find opportunities to praise you each and every day in our daily lives. Help us to find opportunities to be a witness by praising your name. Now, before I finish praying, I want to give you a minute to respond to what the Holy Spirit's speaking to you about. I don't know specifically, but maybe the Lord's talking to you about your praise life. Maybe, like I gave testimony tonight, we need to work on praising God throughout our day. Maybe it's in when we get around certain people, we need to focus on praising the Lord in those times. I don't know what it is, but if you want to take your seat and make it an altar, you can come up here. But I'm going to ask the pianist to go ahead and play. As they play, take a minute and do business with God, what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. I didn't specifically say, but maybe you're in here and you're saying, you know what? I don't know if I have a personal relationship with this Savior you're speaking of. You know what? I don't want to miss an opportunity to say, hey, if you need to start a relationship with the Savior, come up here and get my attention and we'll have someone talk to you and show you how you can know for sure you're going to spend an eternity with a Savior that loves you.
For the reminder. Thank you for using Brother Kyle tonight to remind us of something that we need to be doing every day. We love you. Thank you for being present with us, Holy Spirit, tonight and doing a work in each and every heart. In Jesus' name, I pray that you bring us back Sunday morning. And Lord, I just pray that you'd use us for your honor and for your glory the remainder of this week. Amen and amen. And all of God's people said, praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you so much. You're dismissed. The Lord bless you tonight.